The way it is now, the asylums can hold the sane people. But if we tried to shut up the insane, we would run out of building materials. Hello, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doug Michael. Nice to once again be spending time with you. Certainly, I thank each and every one of you for taking your time to listen with an open mind to contemplate this information. As always, I do greatly appreciate it. There's just been so much going on in my life, and it's good to be sitting here doing another presentation like this again. So thank you one and all for taking your time. As I said in presentations past, it's been really wonderful getting to know so many of you on a personal level too, and the conversations are just incredible. You know, sharing the ideas and talking about a lot of this information together has been really, really great to get to know you. So thank you for that as well. There's been quite a lot of positive feedback on my book that's out there. It's called Simulacrum, Exposing and Transcending the Perceptual Control Paradigm. I've seen a lot of positive feedback. So again, thank you for that as well. The title for this presentation is Towards a New Paradigm. I was originally going to call it Cacophony of Bullshit, but I decided to change the title. We're going to talk about some things that are going on that you've probably heard me speak of before, but bear with me because towards the end, I want to start exploring some ideas for what I think might be viable solutions to the situation that we face. So bear with me. Thank you again, and we'll get started. If you are well-adjusted to the sick and depraved lunatic asylum that we courageously and laughingly call culture, then you may be suffering from severe mental health problems. As the moments go by, it seems, the more the insanity is on full display for all to see. That is, for those who have lifted their consciousness from the muck and the mire and aren't afraid to face it. Although there appears to be a stirring within the consciousness, I think that it's an appallingly few that can really put the pieces together and push forward in their perceptual and conscious advancement within this cacophony of bullshit. These days, the absurdities and the madness is right out in the open, plainly visible, no longer in the shadows, and yet, the more that the curtain lifts away to reveal it, it seems the more that people will fall deeper into the trance to avoid facing it. It's a strange quirk that has always intrigued me, and I think it has to do with the avoidance of facing oneself. Facing the challenges, to me, is a crucial step in the process of self-realization and self-actualization. Now, I'm not suggesting to dwell on them, but simply to acknowledge them with courage and then willfully shifting our consciousness towards solutions, which again, I'd like to discuss towards the end of this presentation. It's important to understand what we are faced with and the mechanics of the game so that we may be better equipped to deal with it. I'd like to begin by examining some of the lunacy and pointing out a few things that to my regular listeners may seem obvious, and I know that I'm preaching to the choir, as it were, but please bear with me. Let's start with pop culture. So many are absolutely enthralled with the over-sexualized mediocrity and banality that is pop culture. Massively talented people are ignored while the industry serves up its shit on a silver platter for mass consumption. This is how the industry operates. It seeks out talented individuals to use and trains them to push dumbed down mediocrity, and they rake in billions in profits doing it. Hollywood and the music industry are what I call filth pits of maggots and vipers, just like the Vatican. Hollyweird is full of perverted deviants that prey upon children, using them and discarding them when they become no longer relevant. Just observe what the industry does to young girls. It sucks them into its web at an early age and casts them in cute little TV shows marketed as family entertainment, which are usually completely unrealistic, but that's not the point. Once the girls start to reach young adulthood, they are repackaged and their once wholesome image becomes a sexualized marketing tool. We see this over and over again, and the music industry is notorious for this. How many young, talented singers are placed in kid-friendly, cute little videos, and when they blossom, their image is revamped into a sexual one to be resold? Well, the list is endless. The industry, through mass promotion, sells this to the public, and unfortunately, the sleeping masses eat it up. If it's on TV or the radio, then it must be good, right? Far too many parents seem to have no problem with their daughters looking up to and idolizing pop stars that have been groomed to promote this, you know, hyper-sexualized agenda like it's a good thing. These pop divas are tools for the industry, and sex sells. Just listen to some of the lyrics of the shit that's mass promoted if you have the stomach for it. Hollywood is loaded with pedophiles, and many of the young kids that get drawn into the web are abused and discarded by very, very powerful people. The motion picture industry, just like the media, is designed to manipulate the consciousness and paint a false picture of reality that molds minds into specific perceptual illusions that fortifies the simulacrum. They weave very powerful cognitive deceptions. Hollywood and mass media are two very influential tools in the consortium's arsenal. Just observe how many people's thoughts are massively influenced by what they see in the movies or on television. In many cases, I would suggest that the manipulation is unconscious and subliminal. Symbolism is used to bombard the subconscious mind, and even the flicker rates and lighting is used in this way. What we call news and entertainment is really propaganda and cognitive manipulation, and it has been enormously successful. They are very powerful weapons, indeed. Over a long period of time, movies and TV have been utilized to promote a certain picture of reality that masses of people have bought into without question and without even realizing it. Through a steady drip-feed method, these industries have methodically programmed the mass consciousness to accept a twisted version of reality and to accept every insult to the intelligence and the spirit as completely normal. Just observe how so much mindless shit and completely amoral garbage has become normalized, and people lap it up willingly. These industries have created a dumbed-down and infantilized mass consciousness. The evidence is all around us. Just observe how many people react with opinions that are so often not even their own. What's more is that they don't even realize it. They have been indoctrinated and programmed so comprehensively that their cognition remains bound within chains of utter illusion. But they believe that they're thinking for themselves, which is very dangerous. I've tried explaining to people over the years that there is a difference between a simple opinion and a logical conclusion based on factual information, but that has always seemed to fall upon deaf ears and blank minds. People remain firm within their opinions, never questioning where they came from. The observer doesn't do that. The one striving for perceptual redefinition continuously reevaluates what they know in the light of new information and changes their mind accordingly. It seems to be very few that do this. Most construct their cognitive fortresses, and there they shall remain, regardless of what new information may come to light. It is simply ignored and rejected, and again, they don't even realize they're doing it. It seems that the ones that are the most caught up in this are the loudest with their ill-informed opinions. It's interesting to observe. Have you noticed that books and reading have become archaic? Very few people seek out information to expand their knowledge base and instead seek to only be entertained. If by some remote chance they do seek out information, they want it delivered in short snippets and 30-second sound bites. So many have become mentally lazy and would simply rather be told what to think. We can clearly observe this by witnessing the level of conversation engaged within by grown adults whose minds can't get past what they watched on TV or read in the newspaper, that is, assuming that they read at all. Trying to discuss something relevant or a new or advanced idea with these types is like trying to teach quantum physics to a dog. It's completely amazing how many adults will frame their reality in such infantilized ways. It's estimated that 21% of American adults operate with only a 10th grade level of reading and comprehension, and I think that it's obvious. They're like children trapped in adult bodies. It's also estimated that nearly two-thirds of high school graduates will never read another book for their entire lives after they graduate. Now, this is truly sad because, like it or not, reading is how we truly learn and develop our minds. The fact that it's so steadfastly rejected by so many speaks volumes. people seem to maintain an attitude that they have learned all that they need to know, and expanding their knowledge and learning has become a burdensome chore. This is what the education system does. It takes the joy out of learning and makes it a drudgery. To me, learning is an ongoing, lifelong process, but it seems that most people are completely comfortable in their cognitive arrested development, and many of them have no shame in advertising their childlike state of consciousness, and I find this very sad. He who knows the least knows it the loudest. As has been pointed out on many occasions, media ownership in the U.S. is consolidated into very few hands. All major media is owned by only 6 multi-conglomerate corporations. It's important to understand that essentially, it's only really one corporation. All of the major media outlets will have representatives within organizations such as the Bilderberg Organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, and other enclaves of decision-making power. Their agents occupy positions in think tank groups such as Tavistock and many other powerful organizations. The media is the propaganda machine for this consortium network, and its purpose is to literally shape reality for droves of people through the manipulation of consciousness, and it has been extremely effective for decades. Now, the 6 main media outlets in the U.S. are Time Warner, which is the world's largest media conglomerate. Its holdings include CNN, Warner Brothers Pictures, AOL, Time Magazine, HBO, and many others. 2009 revenues for Time Warner was $25.8 billion. General Electric, GE, owns major networks such as NBC, also Universal Pictures. 2009 revenues, $157 billion. Walt Disney Company generated $36.1 billion in revenues in 2009. Its holdings include ABC, ESPN, Touchstone, Miramax, Pixar, many, many others. It owns radio stations, theme parks, and several publishing houses. CBS owns 30 TV stations, 130 radio stations, Showtime, Simon & Schuster Publishing, many other holdings. 2009, it generated revenues of $13 billion. Viacom, with 2009 revenues of over $13 billion, this corporation's holdings include Paramount Pictures, MTV, Nickelodeon, and many others. And then there's News Corp. This conglomerate owns Fox Broadcasting, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, HarperCollins Publishing, and 20th Century Fox, among many other holdings. In 2009, its revenues were $30.4 billion. So look, ladies and gentlemen, look at the billions generated by the media. Billions and billions and billions in creating this cognitive control over the minds of the masses. It's incredible. In order for the consortium to successfully steer the consciousness and shape public opinion, information must be controlled and regulated very tightly. All platforms of information, and that certainly includes Google, YouTube, and Facebook, are completely regulated and monitored. Psychological conditioning of the perceptions begins in school and follows us throughout our lives. Edward Bernays, dubbed the father of propaganda, was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. He was a member of the very influential Fabian Society and specialized in what is called crowd psychology. A basic idea of crowd psychology is as follows. Crowd psychology, also known as mob psychology, is a branch of social psychology. Social psychologists have developed several theories for explaining the ways in which the psychology of a crowd differs from and interacts with that of the individuals within it. Major theorists in crowd psychology include Gustav Le Bon, Gabriel Tarde, Sigmund Freud, and Steve Reicher. This field relates to the behaviors and thought processes of both the individual crowd members and the crowd as an entity. Crowd behavior is heavily influenced by the loss of responsibility of the individual and the impression of universality of behavior, both of which increase with crowd size. The term propaganda was abandoned in favor of the term public relations. Bernays stated the following, which sums up the attitude of the social engineers. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. Our invisible governors are in many cases unaware of the identity of their fellow members in the inner cabinet. Humanity's perceptions are manipulated on such a massive scale that most live within a perceptual prison and never notice it. It truly is a simulacrum, that is to say, an artificial superimposed cognitive and perceptual facsimile, a pseudo-reality, if you will. The Fabians infiltrate cultures with propaganda and slowly and methodically drip-feed their poison into society. We clearly see this all around us in today's society with the transgender agenda, political correctness, the attacks on the language, and of course through the media and television programming in general. The average American watches between 4 and 5 hours of TV every day. Now, what may seem harmless has been weaponized as a tool for psychological manipulation, and it's been extremely effective. Social networking has also been used as a weapon. It's a tool for data mining and psychological profiling. Very recently, Facebook came under fire for its theft of massive amounts of data, and so few even remotely seem to care. They've been so desensitized and conditioned that they seem to have no problem at all with being spied upon. Everything about you is tracked and monitored, and with the inception of smart devices and the 5G system, everything will be known about you, and that information will be stored into a cloud. The technotronic control grid is expanding by the moment, and it's very important to be aware of it. The overall collective consciousness has been dumbed down so comprehensively that it defies belief. Facebook is a great way to observe how infantilized the average adult mind has become. It's astounding. The number of grown adults that display the mentality of a child is unbelievable. People seem to have no problem sharing their intimate, personal information on public platforms such as Facebook and show not even the slightest concern about being completely monitored. Intrusions into their personal lives do not bother them in the slightest, and they have no problem airing their dirty laundry to the world or engaging within their silly cyber drama. A very childlike mentality has gripped the mass consciousness, and it's been all according to a specific strategy that's been wildly successful. This is what happens when people refuse to educate themselves and instead use the tools available simply for distraction and entertainment. With all of the distractions and the consciousness kept in lockdown on the level of a child, the technotronic control grid is advancing at a rate that is very fast-paced, and it goes mostly unnoticed. People are simply unaware how far the technology has advanced and the latest developments that resemble things from right out of the wildest science fiction movies. The skies are filled with spy drones, facial recognition technology is being employed everywhere, and we are on the cusp of entering into the post-human era of artificial intelligence. The agenda behind this technology is so insidious and so sinister that the average thinking person simply cannot comprehend it. I've had people say to me on more than one occasion, when telling them about some of these high-tech horrors, that I watch too much X-Files. Typical programmed response. The motion picture industry and media in general has been utilizing what is called predictive programming for decades. The entities behind the consortium network are entrenched within the occult, and it seems to be a part of their code that they have to tell you what they're doing in order to gain consent. As far as they are concerned, ignorance is consent. They'll tell you what they're doing, but not directly. They do it through symbolism and through entertainment. They will reveal technological advancements in movies and disguise it behind science fiction. Some of the latest advancements in technology are far beyond anything even the wildest sci-fi movies have depicted. And remember, what is revealed to the public is decades, perhaps even centuries, behind what is in development in the private military sector. Trillions of dollars go missing from the Pentagon. Where does it go? As crazy as this may sound, the agenda is to create a digitized artificial machine world and to ultimately create a global hive mind connected to quantum supercomputers, what is called the singularity. The idea is to link consciousness to technology and to remove any shred of free will. And if this agenda is achieved, the human race will forever be enslaved, permanently merged to the world of material matter. Now, it may sound completely off the wall to the average person, but this is where we are, and it is on full display all around us, and all that one needs to do is lift their eyes and minds away from all of the distractions for just a moment and simply realize that all of this is right out in the open. It's not hidden anymore. Some very serious decisions need to be made within the individual consciousness, and time is running out. These consortium elites have everything they could ever want, but it's never enough. They seek total control over the consciousness of the entire planet, and they are getting very close to achieving it. Just observe how comprehensively dumbed down the average person truly is, and now imagine combining that infantilized mentality with brain implants, AI, neural networking, and all of the rest of it, and realize that the end game is absolute technotronic enslavement. We need to ask ourselves where it is that we individually stand within all of this. I'm starting to become convinced that the chemtrail phenomenon is connected to all of this. Heavy metals are being sprayed in the skies globally, as they have been for at least 2 decades, probably longer, and the metal particulates are highly conductive. Due to the growing public awareness of these massive aerosol operations, the elites have had to sort of leak out disinformation, and this has been done under the guise of weather modification to control global warming. I think that there is much more to the chemtrails than simply geoengineering. In fact, I think that the agenda is for bioengineering and has been slowly introducing nanotechnology into humans for years. Perhaps we are being prepared for the AI world that is soon to unfold. We've been breathing and consuming metal particulates for decades. How will this interact with the 5G system that will operate in the gigahertz range? I think that the chemtrails may also be connected to a nasty illness known as Morgellons disease. People that suffer with this experience painful lesions on their bodies and itching and burning under the skin. In many cases, fibers protrude from under the skin and they can grow on their own. Nanoparticulates have been found in chemtrail samples. Has nanotechnology been introduced methodically into us? I really do think so, and it's something to be aware of. These technotronic elites are trying to set the natural world on its head and create an artificial digital world, a global hive mind controlled by inorganic intelligences. Quite an arrogant undertaking, wouldn't you say? It's as if they want to become the gods of their own digitally created alternate reality. This AI technology will be sold as beneficial for mankind, but we always need to look behind the curtain to see what the true agenda is. The average good and decent person simply cannot comprehend the level of evil and insidiousness we're dealing with. Humanity is being guided into a singular hive consciousness by the hands of extremely malevolent creatures. People have come forward and claimed that scientists working at CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, are actually working to rip a hole in the fabric of space-time to enter into alternate dimensions. Now again, remember, science fiction is now science fact. We've been consuming foods and products for decades that alter the DNA. There's a genetic component to all of this as well. Eugenicists have been working for years to isolate and alter the human genome. Many scientists have warned that the 5G system has the potential to cause strand breaks in the DNA of humans and animals. We're already genetically altered, so how will the high-tech systems coming online affect this? The average person cannot even begin to wrap their mind around this, so use caution when telling this information to friends and family. Get ready to be labeled a lunatic, a kook, a wacko, a conspiracy theorist, or any other of a number of generic terms that people will throw at you on knee-jerk reaction like the programmed robots they've become. It's amazing. It requires a shift in perception to see this stuff, even though it is right out in the open on full display. So comprehensively has the human mind been programmed and locked down within cognitive conditioning. Take into consideration also the Fukushima nuclear disaster. For over 7 years now, the destroyed nuclear reactors in Japan have been dumping massive amounts of radiation into the Pacific Ocean and destroying the ecosystem. And TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, is currently doing geological surveys to determine where to build more reactors. Absolute, utter fucking insanity. The planet is being irradiated. Now, once the 5G system goes online, we're going to see a massive increase in radiation, and so few have even the slightest care or concern. Because, you know, it's all for your benefit, don't you know? For those very few who are aware of the position we are in, I think that it's imperative to consciously withdraw our consent from all of this insanity, to divorce our minds from all of the irrelevant distractions, and to willingly evolve our perceptual awareness and cognitive expansion. It's important to be aware of the dangers and to withdraw any agreement with this agenda. It's difficult for many walking this journey towards truth and understanding of the situation to not get completely engulfed within fear. I think that it's very crucial to not react this way because it's very disempowering. The consortium uses fear as one of its primary weapons. I would suggest that if it starts to get to you, to walk away and do something creative or something that brings you enjoyment. I'd like to quote a few passages from the book Becoming, which you've probably heard me quote in the past, or similar passages from the Handbook for the New Paradigm series. Again, not my Bible. I don't have any works that I go to that are my, you know, be-all, end-all of all information. But I do find a lot of the passages contained within this trilogy of books to be very profound, these amongst them. The time of bringing the belief system into harmony with the actual physical reality situation in order to avoid the doom of destruction that is now awaiting the majority of Earth's population is now. The important focus is not to dwell on the doom, it is the pivotal point that is now available to humanity that must be used as the impetus of change. Shocking as the facts are regarding the primrose path that humanity has been blindly following, these must be accepted and then the focus turned away from the deceptions towards creating a new reality. What is this new reality? How can it be created if there is no knowledge of what it is that should or could replace the present situation? It would appear that this reality, as it is created, would be nothing but a hodgepodge of each one's desires based on the programming that is already present within each. Who would have the ability to release what is known and envision new concepts that would not be tainted with dreams of the past? So it would appear that not only is there the surrounding current dilemma, but another one of even larger proportions insofar as breaking clear of the current one and then having to confront repetitions of experience rather than a new paradigm. This, it seems, is too much for a group consciousness that is or will be reeling from the shock of discovering the extent of their deception. Or is it? It will be within the release of that shock and the decision to create their own reality that the birthing shall take place. If what is known is deception, then will pursuing opposite concepts result in knowing truth? Indeed, it could. For example, if benevolence has been sought from outside sources, is it indeed available from within one's own awareness? If freedom has not been found in either authoritarian systems or in the pursuit of individual freedoms, then where is it to be found? Could it be obtained within moral and ethical standards that gift the individual within an agreement made by cooperating groups? Could the size of the groups also be arranged by agreement? Could the groups find common ground for agreement within common desires for similar defined freedoms? If cooperation was the key ingredient rather than competition and the need to be or feel superior, then all things are possible. If common interest and desire were the defined beginning point around which all else is drawn by attraction to intended definition of desired experience, successful interaction is possible. If freedom to withdraw and find a more adequate experience within another group was encouraged and allowed, successful adventure in self-definition would be assured. The experience of the search for the most perfect expression could be an end unto itself. The idea of these concepts appeals to me. When I mentioned divorcing one's consciousness from the lunacy, we need to replace our programming with a different consciousness, so to speak. Again, from Becoming, we read, "The days ahead do not look bright for those of you in the USA. The dark plans appear to be coagulating into form as they have been planned. The light workers are the focus of God, as you have chosen to name the outplay of creative energies that bring into being galaxies, solar systems, planets, and individualized awareness to acknowledge and experience these manifestations. These now begin their work in earnest. Indeed, each individual awareness has within itself that creative energy that is theirs to acknowledge and to know personally. It is the focus of that subtly powerful energy that is who each really is. It appears to be apart from the personality ego that is capable of comprehending the understanding of the concept of it. It is the becoming of this apparently larger-than-life beingness that is the difficult accomplishment. Yet, there is no other God. That which each is in this larger reality is the only doorway to understanding the concept of what is called God. I've always felt that the solution lies within each of us. It is in the discovery of what we truly are, beyond the veil of the ego. It is that discovery that is the greatest threat to the consortium. If 7.6 billion human beings operated within their potential and willfully worked to evolve their cognition and to support each other and actually united for a common good, we would be impossible to control. This monumental feat needs to be accomplished, but it's starting to look like it never will be. I think that the push to get the technological control grid in place is to thwart any chance of this shift in consciousness from occurring. Remember, however, that ultimately it is an individual act, a willful decision. I think that maybe a beginning to the solution is in simply walking away from their game. If we refuse to play, there is no game. It's important to remember also that many will simply never see through the veil. If 7 billion came together and transcended our differences and walked away together, it would be over in a flash. But unfortunately, so many are completely locked within the current paradigm to even see what is occurring. God is not a focus of personality, individual thought processes, or a benevolent creator separate from you. God is the combination of the focus of all its parts coalesced into the composite of all. Each awareness is blocked from being a part of that composite until each realizes that it is a part of this composite. Being told that it is means nothing at all. It is the realization that oneself is a viable part of that composite that encompasses the totality of the being. That is what becoming is all about. One must become that reality and realize it as a viable aspect of the totality of God, and that its input to that reality is the truth of who they are. It is not a mental realization, but one that registers total agreement within the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual levels of the total self. In other words, the spiritual aspect that focuses each into manifested reality finally gets the message through to the rest of its focus that is walking around in the body. The body must register this understanding through the totality of its brain nervous system, resulting in what is called a realization, and then registers as a sudden feeling sensation accompanied by an all-encompassing understanding. It allows for a total change in perception with regard to the self and how this self fits into the composite picture of experience. This results in a change in the perception of God, which suddenly allows for an understanding that God equates to cosmic galactic citizenship rather than a father-child relationship. It is a shift from being or experiencing as powerless to the awesome responsibility of being a contributing portion to the totality of what constitutes God, or the creative energy of potentiality being focused into experience in order that it can be defined and understood. The pivotal point at which this change takes place is not a shift from negative to positive. It is rather an uplifting to a new point in the spiral of experience that allows for a greater understanding and ability to utilize the positive-negative energies that are part and parcel of the outflow of creative energies in the individual and collective foci that result in the larger matrix or design of the whole pattern of a galaxy. It is easier to grasp the larger picture of this description than to define it at the level of each individual awareness. Each being comes to the point of their own realization in unique ways and by unique combinations of experience and wisdom. The point is often approached and rejected many times before the actual crossover acceptance happens. It requires a great deal of courage to cross over to a new and different perspective of the life experience. It requires releasing well-learned lessons and entering into a completely new consciousness of what reality truly is. For those who are on the planet Earth now, the deceptions are of such magnitude and the truth of what each being is so well hidden that the acceptance of the truth by the masses is such a gigantic leap in consciousness that it appears to be impossible that it could possibly happen. Yet happen it must if this segment of the human race and this jewel of a planet are to survive. As I've always stated, this is a willing and individual effort to shift the perceptions and evolve our cognition. Now, that does not mean that we cannot assist one another in the process. Sharing information and ideas while we still can is probably a good idea. I think that deliberately working towards transcending the victim consciousness is critical in the beginning stages of facilitating this shift in consciousness. The victim is exploited, and if we hold the idea of ourselves that we are victims, it will attract the victimizer to fulfill the other end of the spectrum. Humanity has been operating as victims for long enough. It's time to rise to our feet for a change. This must begin with an individual transition. It is a willful act. We're staring our very extinction in the face, and I feel that it's important to consciously remove our consent and agreement to rise above our current perceptions about who and what we are and what we are capable of, and to begin to operate as sovereign beings. We need to manifest the change we wish to see and be what we are, and that has to begin with you, the individual. I know where I stand, and I will not go into the world of artificial intelligence and become a digitized slave to the hive mind. It's a choice. What do you choose? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for taking your time to listen and to contemplate with an open mind. It's been very, very noisy here in the city today. So when I get to the editing, I'm going to do my very best to reduce a lot of that background noise that you may hear. Hopefully, by the time you hear this, the noise will be gone for the most part. A lot of people have been asking me, hey, what's going on with Deconstructing Oz? And I don't want to say too much. Greg had some health issues he had to deal with. He's doing a lot better. He's recovered. But he accidentally destroyed his computer. So we don't have the ability right now to do the Skype conversations. He is looking into getting another one. And we're thinking we'll probably get back to Deconstructing Oz somewhere around September. So stay tuned. There will be many, many more discussions in the future. And I certainly appreciate everyone that's been asking about us. Again, thank you very, very much for taking your time. I wish you all the best. Hope that this message finds you well. And oh, by the way, the beginning quote at the very opening of this presentation was by Mark Twain. And also, if you go to the resources sections of the website under reading, you'll find those three paradigm books, A Handbook for the New Paradigm, Embracing the Rainbow, and Becoming. I recommend all of them. Again, it's not my, you know, Bible, but there are many profound passages contained within these works, so I do recommend them. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for spending your time with me. I really do greatly appreciate it. And until next time, walk in peace.